Hello and welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and today we're going to look at the nature of God. Holiness is the most exalted attribute of God in the Bible, and it's something we're called to strive towards. But holiness is a word that turns a lot of people off. And that's probably because it's a word that gets used and abused a lot in the Christian world. So what exactly does it mean to be holy? Well, that's the topic we'll explore today as Rabbi Schneider continues this series on how Jesus completes biblical Judaism. So let's get started. Rabbi titled our message, "What is the Nature of God?" And it starts right now.
Many times believers have a concept that the God of the Hebrew Bible, the God of what they call the Old Testament, is primarily a harsh lawgiver that kind of mercilessly punishes people for their sin, whereas they view the God in the New Testament primarily as a God of grace and love. And it seems inconsistent. How could the God of the Old Testament, many think, be the same God that I see revealed in the New Testament? They don't look at the God of the Old Testament as a God of grace. They see him as a God of law and justice. And they look in the New Testament, they see a God of grace. And it seems to many to be two different gods. And so to dial it back, I showed how the most exalted attribute that we see revealed of who God is in the Hebrew Bible is his holiness. We went to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6, where Isaiah was permitted to see the Lord in heaven on his throne. And Isaiah describes what he saw in Isaiah 6. And Isaiah said, "I saw him high and exalted, high and lifted up. And there were these divine beings around him, these seraphim, and they didn't cease crying out day and night," Isaiah said, "Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh," which is the Hebrew word for holy. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." So once again, Isaiah sees the Lord on the throne with these divine beings around the throne that don't cease crying out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." It's the only time in the entire Hebrew Bible, the entire Tanakh, where we find a threefold repetition of one of God's attributes. In other words, we know that God is all-powerful, but nowhere in the Hebrew Scriptures do we see him referred to as all-powerful, 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 or all-righteous, all-righteous, all-righteous. Only once is there a threefold repetition, and it's in reference, beloved ones, to his holiness. Now take that, and let's take this to the New Testament. When we read through the New Testament, do we find that within the pages of the Brit Hadashah, which once again is the Hebrew way to say the New Covenant Scriptures, the New Testament, is there an attribute of God that seems to be exalted more than any others? To answer this question, we went to the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation is a book like no other books in the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah. Because in the book of Revelation, John, he's on the island of Patmos. He had been exiled there because of his faith. And on the Lord's day, John says, he heard the Spirit of the Lord call to him, "Come up here." And immediately the scripture says John was caught up in the Spirit and was permitted to see the Lord on his throne in the heavens, just like Isaiah did in Isaiah 6. This takes place once again in the book of Revelation, chapter 4. John describes what he saw for us, and John says he saw the Lord once again on the throne, and there were these divine beings around the throne, and John said they did not cease crying out day or night, listen, "Holy, holy, holy." So we find that the New Testament and the Old Testament are completely in sync in the sense that they exalt God's holiness above all his other attributes. This is the only time in the New Testament where any of God's attributes are repeated three times, just as it's the only attribute in the Old Testament where any of God's attributes are repeated three times. In both the Old and New, the threefold repetition is of God's holiness. Now, what is God's holiness? We've just learned that the Old and New Testaments are consistent in that they show us that the most exalted attribute of the Creator is His holiness. But what is holiness? Holiness has to do with being completely other than, completely, listen, unique. In other words, holiness has many different forms. It speaks of God's morality. It speaks of many different colors of meaning are in the word holiness. But the primary meaning of kadosh or holy, listen, is to be completely unique and separate. In other words, God is not like any other. I quoted on one of the earlier broadcasts in this series that in the book of Isaiah, the Lord spoke to the prophet and said, I am God and there is no other. I form light and I create darkness. I cause well-being and I create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. God alone, listen now, is uncreated. God alone reigns. God is the uncreated, limitless one. He has no beginning. He has no end. He exists outside of time. He exists outside of space. He is the cause that has no cause. He's the ground of all being. He is, and He is completely other than, totally unique. Everything else is created life. God is uncreated life. No beginning, no end. He is eternity. So once again, beloved ones, as we look at how the Old and New Testaments, how the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, fit together like a hand in a glove, we find that they both teach us that God's most exalted attribute is His otherness. He is completely unique and separate. Let's continue on. Oftentimes, once again, people get confused because they see the God of the Hebrew Scriptures. We're moving to the next page now. They view the God of the Hebrew Scriptures, once again, as primarily a harsh lawgiver, whereas they view the God of the New Testament as a God of grace, almost like, forgive me for saying it, but I'm just using a little humor, like God has two personalities, like He was one person in the Old Testament and suddenly becomes a happy God in the New Testament. And it's like, what's going on? But the truth is, beloved, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now hear me, and He's always been a God, listen, of grace. Many believers don't understand that even as the New Testament teaches and portrays our God as a God that's full of grace, so too, the pages of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, also reveal that God, listen, is a God of grace. David said in Psalm number 86, verse 15, "But You, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth." Once again, David, he was so close to God. The Lord said about David, that David was a man after God's own heart. David had a very tender relationship with God. He knew God. David said to the Lord, he said, "Your gentleness has made me great." Now remember, beloved ones, this is an Old Testament word. David, the king of Israel, said to the Lord, "Your gentleness, O God, has made me great." He knew God as a God of grace. And so what we're saying once again is the nature of God revealed in the Hebrew Bible is the same as what we see revealed in the New Testament.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back. But first, we want to take a moment to share with you about Rabbi's latest book, The Key to Answered Prayer. In the beginning, man's relationship with God was unhindered. But today, despite all of our knowledge and our understanding, we live in a planet full of hunger, sorrow, and disease. And it seems our prayers often go unanswered. In The Key to Answered Prayer, Rabbi Kurt Schneider uncovers the theme of key prayers in the Old and New Testaments, teaching you how to pray with confidence. Rediscover how to connect with God and have your prayers answered. Get your copy today. Call 888-MY-RABBI or visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com. We believe this book will deepen your relationship with the Lord. I know it has for me, so make sure to order your copy today. And now, back to Rabbi.
I think the most profound revelation that we have in the Hebrew Bible, and specifically the Torah, which is the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, I think the most profound revelation that we have, folks, in the Hebrew Bible is found in the book of Exodus, chapter number 34, the book of Shemot in Hebrew. Moses was described by the Lord, listen now, as the humblest man on the earth and as a man that knew him, listen, face to face. Moses is referred to as the face-to-face prophet because God said he knew Moses face to face. We know the story of Moses, most of us. God called Moses and raised him up to be the deliverer of Israel out of Egypt. So I'm going to take you now to the 34th chapter of the book of Exodus, the book of Shemot, and I want to show you something that is truly incredible. Moses was kind of insecure because, remember, even when God first called Moses and Moses met God at the burning bush and Moses said, but Lord, you know, I stutter. How am I going to do this? Moses was very insecure about his calling. And so this insecurity had to be continually reassured by Father God. God had to continually tell Moses that he was adequate because God was making him adequate. So Moses is still dialoguing with God. How am I going to do this, God? How can I lead them to the promised land? How are they going to believe me? And Moses keeps on looking for reassurances. And finally, Moses says to the Lord, Lord, if you don't go with me, I'm not going to go. And then Moses climaxes. He says this. He says, listen, show me your glory. And so God says to Moses, Moses, I'm going to show you my glory. To give Moses the confidence that was required. With that in mind, I take you now to Exodus 33, verse 18. Then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of Yahweh before you. And I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion to whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see my face and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And so we continue the story in Exodus 34. Moses has gone into the cleft of the rock now, and he's calling upon the name of the Lord. He's calling upon the name Yahweh. And as he's in the cleft of the rock, beloved, calling upon the name of the Lord, we pick up. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh God, which is translated, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet will by no means leave the guilty go unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. Now, once again, I want you to take a step back and listen very carefully. This is the most profound and full revelation of God's nature to anybody in the Hebrew Bible. As Moses is in the cleft of the rock, calling upon the name of his God, the Lord himself comes to Moshe, to Moses, and breathes into him and fills him, beloved one, with revelation, light, and knowledge. So when the Lord began to proclaim his name over Moses and speak into Moses who he was, Moses didn't just hear words. Moses was filled with the depth and understanding of what those words meant. Let me give you an example of what I'm explaining by this. Years ago, I went through a real dilemma in my life because I saw a lot of failure happening in the lives of God's people. In other words, I saw so many people that, you know, talked about the Lord and talked about Jesus, and yet it seemed like there were just so many failures happening in their life. I'm not talking about, you know, one here, one there, but it just seemed like their life was a continual life of defeat. And it didn't make sense to me because the scriptures tell us that we should have victory in our lives in Jesus, that we should have a supernatural joy, that we should be able to live above our circumstances, that we're more than conquerors through all these things. But I got to the place where I just said, Lord, it's not making sense. These people that I'm seeing, they're all saying they believe in you, and yet they seem to have one problem after another problem after another problem. And I don't understand how they can be living in almost perpetual defeat and yet believe in you. And unless you show me what's going on, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to be able to trust you for myself. Because if they say they believe in you and it appears like you're not fulfilling your purpose in their life and that they're failing and falling, how can I trust that you're going to give me victory and fulfill your purpose in my life? So I said, Lord, I just got to stop and just wait for you to answer me because I can't go on until I understand this dilemma. So I was really at a crisis in my faith. I was at a standstill. It was like, Lord, I can't go on until you answer this question for me. And so I was in this place of just waiting on God for several days. There was a sadness in my heart because I needed an answer, but I also had faith that he was going to answer. So in the midst of this, after several days, just being sad and waiting on God, the Lord spoke to me, and he said to me, the reason you're seeing what you're seeing is because my people are not trusting me. But when he said the word trust to me, he said it to me in a way that the word trust was filled with revelation knowledge, and what was in the word trust was the word cling. So he was saying to me, my people are falling because they're not clinging to me. They're leading lives apart from me. But he used the word trust. The reason I'm sharing that story, beloved, is that when Moses heard the Lord proclaim who he was, Moses didn't just hear the words. He knew what the meaning of the words were. He was filled with revelation, light of the meaning of the words. God is revealing himself to Moses. So listen what happens. Moses, once again, is in the cleft of the rock. The Lord comes, verse number 6, Exodus 34. The Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord, Yahweh God, listen, compassionate and gracious. The first thing that the Lord reveals to Moses concerning his nature is that he's compassionate and gracious. God doesn't tell Moses, well, Moses, I'm a harsh lawgiver. Moses, I am a moral God, and if someone doesn't live up to my moral nature, I'm going to strike them down instantly for their sin. No. When Moses encounters Hashem, when he encounters the Lord, beloved one, the God he encounters is above all else, listen now, compassionate and gracious. Now, I know I said God's chief attribute is his holiness, and that's true. He is separate, unique, uncreated life. He's like no other. But the nature of this God is, first of all, listen, compassionate and gracious. Now, isn't this what the New Testament reveals? Do you see what I'm saying, church? The Old and New Testaments are consistent in what they teach us concerning who God is. They're not two inconsistent portions of the Bible. Rather, they fit together like a hand in a glove. God wants you to know, beloved ones, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a compassionate and a gracious God. He loves you and I. He loves you the same today as he did yesterday and as he will tomorrow. And he knows we're but dust. And beloved, as long as we look to him humbly, he's always going to have compassion on us. He's always going to help us, and he's always going to place his favor upon us, which comes from the word grace. He's a gracious God, meaning He shows us favor and blesses us, even if we don't deserve it. God is going to bring peace to your heart as you understand once again how the Old and New Testaments fit together for you like a hand in a glove.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus and a message by Rabbi Schneider titled, What is the Nature of God? It's one part of our study on how Jesus completes biblical Judaism. And we'll continue this study next time, so please join us again tomorrow. Well, holiness is mandatory for believers, but being holy isn't about keeping a list of man-made requirements. There's only one way that we can be made holy, and that is through Jesus. So today, Father, we ask that through your Son, you would sanctify us and make us holy just like you. And now, back to Rabbi Schneider.
Beloved, I hope and trust that you received something and were blessed by today's broadcast. Now I want to give you the opportunity to do something even greater than receiving, and that's giving. Many of us know that Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. In fact, when we give, we're participating in our Christ-likeness because God is by nature a giver. He so loved you and me that He gave His only begotten Son. If you believe in me and believe that this broadcast is helping people, I want to ask you, just open up your heart to the Holy Spirit. Just give as He leads you to give. I can promise you this. In so doing, you'll be being conformed to the image of Christ, who is a giver, and you'll be blessed, beloved, for your obedience to God. I love you, and I want to thank you for your love and financial gifts today. It makes this program possible.
To give a one-time gift today, or if you'd like to partner with us this year, then give us a call at 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. You can also give a donation when you send your check to us today by writing to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, P.O. Box 777, Blissfield, Michigan, 49228. And did you know that a lot of people have found it easier to give a gift of any amount online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com? Truly, we are so grateful for all of our faithful listeners. We know that you guys understand that these programs from Rabbi Schneider, they're made possible through voluntary donations and prayer. And we thank you for valuing Rabbi's teaching and wanting to see this ministry thrive. As a tangible token of our appreciation for your faithful obedience to God's leading, we'll send you a select audio CD of Rabbi Schneider's Message of the Month that's also available as a download and our current newsletter. You know, the Jewish people and Christians both believe in the same God. So why is there such division between the two groups? Why do Jewish people struggle to see Jesus as the Messiah? And why do Christians struggle to see Jesus as a Jewish man? The answer to those questions and more are the topic of a book Rabbi wrote called The Lion of Judah. Jesus magnificently fulfilled every word of the Bible, and this book will help you gain a great insight into God's plan of redemption as you develop an appreciation for the Hebrew heritage. Once again, the book is called The Lion of Judah, and you can request it at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And now to wrap up our message titled, What is the Nature of God? With a special blessing, here is Rabbi Schneider once again.
In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, the Lord gave instructions to Moses and Aaron to speak this blessing over His people. And the Lord said, when you speak these words over my people, I will place my name on them and bless them. Receive the impartation of the Lord's blessings. Yavarechech Yahweh Vayishmarecha Ya'er Yahweh Panav Elecha Vihunecha Yisa Yahweh Panav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up by His countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you and shalom.
I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Hey, be sure to join us again next time when Rabbi Schneider reveals whether God's nature is consistent. Learn more on Thursday's edition of Discovering the Jewish Jesus.